sheep that the master must bring, and to them must a message be told. He sent me to gather them out of our land and welcome them back to the fold, to the regions beyond. I must go, all the world his salvation shall know. Amen. A good hymn to start the evening service. As a reminder to us, we need to reach the lost ones in our neighborhood or wherever they are. Let's pause for prayer this time. Brother Bob, could you please seat us tonight and us open in prayer?
Father God, Lord, thank you for this evening that you've allowed us to have. And we thank you for the open doors of this church. Not just for the open doors, but for the fundamental teaching that goes out through these open doors.
Amen.
We pray that we would have a magnificent footprint in this community in terms of getting your word out, because that is our purpose. And we just pray, Lord, that you would give us whatever we need to do this job for you, and that we might gather all the glory and the honor to be heaped upon you for whatever is the result might be. And we just thank and praise you for being willing to use even us in this regard. Just pray that you would be with us this evening, that you would convene this meeting to your purpose, and you would allow us to come closer to you through the true teaching of your word. And we just pray these things this night in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated. And we continue our good singing as we go to hymn number 656. 656, Send the Light. Sing our four verses of this hymn. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, send the light, send the light. Their souls to rescue, their souls to send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Light, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Send the light, send the light, and the golden offering, the cross we lay, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine, the truth to show, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine. Forevermore. Praise that everywhere among, send the light, send the light. Like spirit everywhere be found, send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary, the walk of love. Send the light, let us gather you around above. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine. Let us sing another
song before the pastor comes, until he comes, to hymn page number 671. 671. Three verses, first two verses, and number four.
God's side, because you never know what we're going to be into. We could be on board the Titanic and it could go down, or you could be in the car accident and it could. Just 2 weeks ago, a lady was driving her little 10-month-old boy in the car, and they hit another car. Another car must have pulled out in front of them, and the car was engulfed in a flames, and they died very quickly. That was right on English Creek Avenue 2 weeks ago. So we need to pray for that family. But we just never know. So always be ready by knowing the Lord and living for Him and serving Him. Just want to bring your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. In thy presence is fullness of joy. So let's stay close to God in His presence. It's good to have Tyler back with us tonight. Welcome back, Tyler. We missed you, and we're glad that you are here tonight. And how's your mom and dad doing? Family, good? All right, excellent. So, Tyler, good to have him back. And we invite you this Wednesday night for Master Club to come on out. And I go down by Penny Point and Heathercroft, and then I can keep going. So if you want me to pick you up this Wednesday, talk to your mom about it. And I can. Or are you at your aunt's house at that point? You're at your mom's at that point. Okay, so I can pick you up at your house at 6:10, because I'm picking up Elsie, which is right down the street from you, Elsie and Jose. I actually passed your apartment on my way to Penny Point. So 6:10, if you're available, I'll knock on the door. How's that sound? All right. Okay. All right. Let's see. Just by way of other announcements, let's pray for our Master Club Regionals coming up. Then also for evangelistic meetings coming up 2 weeks from today, March 24th, Evangelist Gary Gilmore, Evangelist Paul Raines will be with us. We look forward to them coming. And so let's pray for their ministry with us and pray for people to come out, that they be saved, be putting out flyers this Wednesday for that. special time. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? The Gospel Egg Hunt will not start at 11 a.m. It'll actually start at 10 a.m. this year. So 10 a.m. to 12 noon for the Gospel Egg Hunt on April 20th. Anyone else? Okay, we look forward to next week, Baptism and Membership Sunday. So looking forward to Armani getting baptized and joining. So looking forward to that. All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. And we look forward to hearing your testimonies, what you are thankful to God for tonight. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day of the money you've about to receive. Dear Lord, Jesus, my prayer, amen.
Carol, it's your turn.
Yeah. Lydia and I have talked earlier, and she told me she was doing it, so
okay.
I got all discombobulated.
Okay, sure.
About the songbooks for Chorus and the Men Blue Books, 685. Sing the first and last verses, sing first and second, and then we pause for the testimonies, and then we will come back to the last verse afterwards, 685. A well-known hymn that we know in the songbooks and also in the chorus books. 685, I've got a mansion. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But just that city, better and so shine. I want a good one with silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we never go. And someday yonder we'll evermore wander, but walk the streets that have filled with gold. No, too, though often tempted, tormented and tested, I'm like the prophet, my pillow of stone. I find here no permanent dwelling. I know he gave me a mansion my own. There are mansions just over a hilltop. We never grow, and someday yonder we never will wander,
conference preach that happy miracle.
Amen. We will part at this point and allow who would like to be first to give their testimony about the blessings from the past day or through the past week. I know someone have enjoyed something today and somebody has a testimony to share. I think everybody has one. Who would like to be first? Oh, go ahead, brother.
Praying for my roommate. His foot. His foot.
Okay, is it broken or just sick?
Yeah.
Which one?
Broken.
Broken, okay. Can you tell us his name so we can know exactly
Lee
the... Oh, who's...
Lee Schaefer.
Lee Schaefer? Okay. All right, are you praying for Lee Schaefer? For his foot? Anyone else? Anyone else like to share? Oh, they have two hands up. Okay.
I just pray for God's mercy. What happened? We were going to go home, but what happened is we were getting some new drinks, and all of a sudden there was this lady come, and she said, "Oh, can you help me? I need some money for the gas." So we just gave some dollars and the track for the lady.
Okay. Praise the Lord. That's a good testimony.
We stopped at a rest stop coming home in Delaware, and I probably did something that maybe is not the safest thing to do. It was night, it was dark, and Evan and I had just gotten some beverages, and we're getting set up, and there's like a knock on a window, and there's a lady there, and she said, I don't have any money left, and I need to get gas, and I thought, I don't believe her, but God knew her heart, and I cracked the window very, very tightly, did not want to let it down completely. Gave her a few dollars, but gave her a track, and I told her, I said, I don't believe in coincidences. I said, I really hope you read this, it's about the Lord. So she said she would.
All right.
You never know, but it was really neat because we were not going to stop at that point in Delaware, but we did.
Okay.
I just wanted to thank the Lord for a wonderful trip and time with Eric and his family, and it's so easy not to take for granted when we get behind steering wheels, when we get into someone else's car, whether we're driving 5 minutes or like for Evan and I, it was 10.5 hours. And especially driving down there, I got into the wrong lane. I wanted to get into an express lane, and I got into a regular lane, and there was construction, and we lost a lot of time.
Oh my.
But God, I thank the Lord for that. Because about an hour later, we were held up in another traffic jam due to an 8-car pileup. And by the time we got there, all the vehicles were off to the side of the road. 8 cars seemed to be unharmed, but the main car that possibly started everything, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, the ambulances and everything was already long gone, but the vehicle itself was flipped over. The top, you could tell, was ripped. The front was just gone, and it was quite impressive to see that and wonder what happened to the people, and if they're already in eternity, where are they? So, you know, we prayed for the people involved in the accident, but I praise God because if I had gotten to where I wanted to, we possibly might have been.
Might have been that.
So God's timing. And,
perfect.
Praise the Lord for his
eight days. Amen. We pray for you for your life and body that is going. We still pray for you all also.
Amen.
But we are going and coming back home. All right. Anyone else with a testimony, a blessing from today or through the past week? Anyone else with a blessing, a testimony, something God has done for you this past day or past week? I said thanks to him for the wonderful rain that came, you know. And I know some people complain about the rain falling and it's just too much rain or what have you. God, in his perfect wisdom, knows exactly how much rain to send and the perfect timing. Do you ever stop and think that we are going from the winter into springtime and God sent that rain just to perfectly cause the buds to butter come up and the flowers and the different flowers are coming up that no one can make beside God? And they just come up out of the dirt, and all the whatever has in the dirt, and comes out a beautiful lily or whatever color it is, God's handiwork that he display every single time. Amen. Go ahead, brother, tell us.
I went to Philly and did a flower show.
Okay. the flowers that you saw there. Yes, right. Right, God's handiwork. Perfectly designed flowers by God himself. No human can do that, no matter how wise they are. It takes God's wisdom to do those things that he does with flowers, all different colors. You wonder, ever stop, look at a flower and wonder how God made how that flower become such a perfect design with all the colors and stripes and shaped. God's handiwork. What a wonderful God we have. Anyone else for the blessing? But let us sing the last chorus in the book we have here, 685. God has a mansion. He has wonderful things for us here on earth also. Let's sing the last verse of page 685. Got a mansion.
Don't take people. It's all sort of lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. In that dry land where we never grow old. And someday yonder we never more wander, but walk on streets that
happy riddle. Amen. Anyone else for a testimony? We have exactly 4 minutes left. Go ahead, Carol.
I particularly doesn't sound right, but anyway, I'm grateful. Maybe that's a good word. I'm grateful for our theme this year of teamwork, because I think it's so very important. I think of a previous pastor who used to talk on that theme quite often, not a pastor in this church, but a different church. And he used to say, it doesn't matter who carries the ball, it only matters that Jesus wins. And as we work together as a team, I think of that saying of his, and I think of the blessings of working together as a team. I had a bit of an opportunity this morning. Zion and Zamora came over to my house and helped me make sandwiches this morning and did a very good job of it, and I was thankful for that teamwork. I'm trying to work with the young ladies of the church, and Pastor doesn't even know this yet, so I hope it's okay with him, but at any rate, today I saw a number of people that needed help getting their food, so Lydia happened to be the first one I saw. And I said to her, before you help yourself, help someone that needs help. And she gave me her plate to hold for her, and she went and helped somebody, as did Zion and many of the other ladies. So I just praise the Lord that not only has he called us together as a family, but he's made us a team to work for him.
That's right. That's right. Anyone else with a testimony, a blessing from the past day? Last week. Go ahead, Mr. Sarge.
I'm thankful to God I have my voice back, and for a while there, it usually takes a while after a cough to get rid of it completely, even with antibiotics. So I'm thankful to God for his mercies, and
Amen.
Giving us what we don't really deserve, but his love and his mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing that God does. How he does it? Does it through his own wisdom and his own might and power, and sometimes it doesn't take power. Just he speaks the word and it happens. Anyone else? Does he still have 2 minutes left? Do you want to do a thing? Tell us. Anyone else? Well, I tell you what.
I'm sure they have testimonies from today. The presentations today by the police and fire, and who wants to share a little bit about how God helped bring it all together and everyone's teamwork with the lunch.
Blessing. So who wants to share? Thankfulness to God. For a good day. Well, it's good to know that the city of Northfield at Prime Races, not high really, from what the officer was saying, that it's a safe place to live in. Not many of us live in Northfield, but that's the city.
window, and that's where our church is, you know, so people can feel safe coming here. And it was helpful with all the questions that he had and how he was able to let some of the young people know if they're interested in being a policeman or a policewoman, you know, the steps that they have to take and things that they would need to prepare themselves for a job like that, because that's a very important job, very dangerous, but thank God that there are those who are willing to, you know, take it on and help to protect our community.
Amen. Well, let us sing a last chorus since we have no more. Anyone, no one else? Give them a testimony. Anyone else have a testimony you want to give? Okay, let's go to your chorus book to page number 56 in your chorus book. It's Jesus and Me, and you can say the same thing too, that Jesus and you together can do a lot of things that you can't do by yourself and I can't do by myself also. Let's just stand for a moment and sing one verse in the chorus. Then we turn it over to Pastor Rice. 56. If one has it, I travel alone upon this lonesome way. My body was heavy, and that was my way. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. Now it is Jesus and me, for each tomorrow, every heartache and every sorrow, I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend through to the end. It's Jesus and me. Amen. Thank you for your good singing. At this time, Pastor Rice.
All right, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as we look at, we have a short video to watch as well, as what true preaching is. You have, what's that?
On the thing.
Oh, okay.
The mic on top.
Thank you. Okay, what true preaching is and what false preaching is. There's a lot of kinds of preaching out there today, and masquerading around as preaching, but it's actually no more than giving forth some statements of philosophy, and it tries to pass for preaching. So we're going to look at a little bit about discernment about what true preaching is and what it's not. So John, do you have that 7-minute video? The seven minute one first. 1 Corinthians 15 is where we are. 1 Corinthians 1 is where we are. And what is true preaching of the Word of God? First, let's look at that. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your Word tonight, to be reminded of the preaching of the Word and how as we are discipled and as we grow in our faith that we need the true preaching of the Word, because man's philosophies will not cut it and we will not grow. And it instead will lead into false teaching. Lord, help us to stay on the straight and narrow path of your word in true biblical preaching, expository, topical preaching in the word of God that can teach us, that can guide us and help us in our Christian lives. And we pray you'd bless now this sermon, bless each one of our hearts. Help us to be discerning Christians as we grow in our faith, that we would be able to pinpoint false teaching from true teaching, in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 1, it says, verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. So here Paul starts out with him being an apostle called by God through the will of God to, and he's now writing this letter to the church at Corinth. Okay, and we're going right to verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now the gospel is very simple. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, it tells us what the gospel is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which ye also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and was buried and rose again for our sins. So what is the gospel? It's simple. It's Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And so he says to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. A lot of false teachers try to use their intellect and use their many years of Bible college and seminary and doctorate training to teach with the wisdom of words. But that's not what we're called to do as preachers, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That the preaching of the word needs to get to the heart so that effects can be changed, so that our hearts can be changed, that we can be moving from one place of disobedience in our life to back to obedience to God. That's what preaching is all about. It gets us to see ourselves for where we're at right now, that if I'm in sin, I don't want to stay in sin. I need to be preached to be brought back to a Christ-like relationship with Him, obedience. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Okay, people who are unsaved, they don't understand the preaching of the cross. But we never want to get over the preaching of the cross. If we ever get to the point where we say, oh no, pastor's preaching the gospel again. Oh, I'm just going to tune out. No, we better not get to that point. Why? Because it's to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. You know, Jesus never gets old. His story of his death, burial, and resurrection never gets old. That's why as we're practicing the Easter program, it never gets old what we're celebrating. We're celebrating Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, how he conquered sin, death, and the grave. And so it should never get old, but we should cling to it. It's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So we don't need to have these pithy sermons that are really high up here and you have to almost have a doctorate just to understand them. No, we don't need high, lofty platitudes. Now what we're going to watch is John, can you fast forward to the actual content of the video? We don't want to see an intro, somebody's intro and all that. We want to see the actual content of the video. So we need preaching, but we don't need the false preaching that a lot of preachers on TV get into. We need the true preaching of the Word of God. Okay, verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Okay, so we don't need the wisdom of the world. We don't need whatever the fads are of all right, I think we're just about ready here. Is that it, John, or did you fast forward? This must be an advertisement. That's him. This is the 7-minute one?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right, so this is an example of false preaching. Okay, so let's go ahead. Yes, if we can turn the lights off. There we go. Okay, this is some instances of false preaching by Joel
Osteen is a famous televangelist and New York Times bestselling author. Osteen is also the pastor of Lakewood Church.
and his weekly televised program has an average viewership of 7 million. But Joel's message is actually not Christian at all. Coming up, I'll be providing a summary and critique of Mr. Osteen's work. What's happening, educated guys and gals? I hope you had a Merry Christmas. Really quick,
okay,
if you like the content here, subscribe by clicking on the icon on the bottom right, and then hit the...
There we go, we get...
In 2004, Joel Osteen released his best-selling book, That's Right Now. Many of the methods Osteen suggests in that work are based upon strategies developed earlier by other successors. For instance, in The Secret, Rhonda Byrne teaches that humans have the force and the energy within them to create whatever type of life they want. Similarly, in The Shack, William Young suggests that we have so much power within us that we can literally create reality by speaking it. Both of these precepts are based upon a belief known as the law of attraction, in which people can bring positive or negative...
This lady is a demonic lady. She had seances and all that.
...positive or negative thoughts.
Osteen piggybacks on this philosophy in your best life now. The only difference between Joel versus Byrne and Young is that Osteen sprinkles some Christianese into the mix. In his bestseller, Joel outlines a 7-step plan that will enable individuals to obtain their best life now.
And by the way, I want to hasten to say he's absolutely right. If you believe in what he says in that book, this will be your best life. It'll be a whole lot better than the next one.
True statement. We don't want our best life now.
He is absolutely right. But if you want your best life now, go for his theology. If you want your best life forever, avoid it.
Here's some of Osteen's list. Believe, visualize, speak out loud. Sound familiar? It's the same vocabulary as Byrne and Young. Here's a quote. Friend, there's a miracle in your mouth. But Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Another quote. God has already done everything he's going to do. The ball is in your court. This is what has been known in the history of the Christian church as Pelagianism, an absolute heresy. Here's another quote. You can be better. Now, my friends, this is law. I'm not saying that the law is bad, but as Christians, we have to think in proper categories. You can be better is not the same as Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Osteen's statement is law. Paul's statement is the gospel. Here's a longer quote from another Osteen book, Becoming a Better You. Quote, I'm hoping to help you look inside yourself and discover the priceless seeds of greatness that God has placed within you. In this book, I will reveal to you, man, this is pure Gnosticism, 7 keys that you can use to unlock those seeds of greatness, allowing them to burst forth in an abundantly blessed life. The essence of Osteen's teaching is more or less the same as the name it and claim it philosophy of the word faith movement.
And then he says, how do I know they work? Because I found a perfect parking spot at the mall. That's deep. What about the poor little old lady that was waiting behind you for that parking spot at the mall?
But Osteen has added further to his heresy by openly denying the gospel in mainstream interviews. When Osteen appeared on Larry King, he was asked several important theological questions by King.
You either believe in Christ or you don't. If you believe in Christ, you are going to heaven. If you don't, no matter what you've done in your life, you ain't.
Yeah, I don't know. There's probably a balance between, I believe you have to know Christ.
Pretty bad
but when
Larry
I think
King is an unsaved
if
guy
you know Christ,
Joel Osteen, what he
if you're a believer in God, you're going to have some good works.
Question, what if you're Jewish? What if you're a Muslim and you don't accept Christ at all? Answer.
You know, I'm very careful about saying who would and wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know.
Question, if you believe that you have to believe in Christ, they're wrong, aren't they? Answer.
Well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I believe here's what the Bible teaches, and from the Christian faith, this is what I believe, but I just think that only God can judge a person's heart. I've spent a lot of time in India with my father, and, you know, I don't know all about their religion, but I know they love God, and I don't know.
I don't know. Give us some men who know the truth. And who will stand with Athanasius and Polycarp and Calvin and Luther and Whitfield and Edwards, and who will declare from the housetops that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
I agree with you, Steve.
Not one mention of God in that. Not one mention of Jesus Christ in that.
That's just my message. There is scripture in there that backs it all up. But I feel like, Byron, I'm called to help people. How do we walk out the Christian life? How do we live it? And these are principles that can help you. I mean, if there's a lot better people qualified to say, here's a book that's going to explain the scriptures to you. I don't think that's my gifting.
then may I suggest, Mr. Osteen, please remove the title church from your ministry.
Mitt Romney, and I got to ask you the question, because it is a question, whether it should be or not in this campaign, is a Mormon a true Christian?
Well, in my mind, they are. Mitt Romney has said that he believes in Christ as his Savior, and that's what I believe. So, you know, I'm not the one to judge the little details of it. So I believe they are. And so, you know, Mitt Romney seems like a man of character and integrity to me.
Mormons believe that there are many gods, that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are the spirit brothers of Lucifer, and that God was once a glorified man. In the King Follett funeral discourse, Joseph Smith stated, "We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. It is the first principle of the gospel to know for a certainty the character of God, and to know that we may converse with him as one man converses with another, and that he was once a man like us." This is blasphemy and a complete contradiction of Scripture. Yet Joel is comfortable in saying that Mormons worship the same Savior as we do.
Do you not get hung up in those theological issues?
I probably don't get hung up in them because I haven't really studied them or thought about them, and you know, I just try to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know. I certainly can't say that I agree with everything that I've heard about it, but from what I've heard from Mitt, when he says that Christ is his Savior, to me, that's a common bond.
In summation, Joel Osteen is an agent of Satan, and his ideology contains a false prosperity gospel, which is in complete contradiction to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a regular follower of Mr. Osteen, I plead with you, stop giving money to him and turn to the true Christ as he is clearly revealed in Scripture. Thanks for watching, guys. If you like that video, please give it a thumbs up. Once again, if you like the material on this channel, you can subscribe by clicking on the icon on the bottom right. I upload a new video every Saturday. I just want to give a shout out to Spectral Cliff,
okay,
who suggested Lauren Daigle
at this point. So, we'll turn the lights back on. How many never knew that about Joel Osteen? Okay? All right. You thought, oh, something's not quite right with him, but you don't know quite what, right? You just hear, okay, he's got this and that. Well, the underneath of it all, he's not a preacher of the Bible. He's a motivational self-help guy that likes to throw verses in and claim it's preaching. Okay? But there's no such thing in the Bible. Show me where the name it and claim it theology is in the Bible. Anybody know where that is? Not in there. You know, you can't speak something into existence. Only God can do that. God can speak the world into existence. But by you saying it day after day, you can't claim anything. But that's from Helen Blavatsky, who actually was the same Helen, Madam Helen Blavatsky, that actually worked with Westcott and Fort back in the 1800s. And they loved her. They would go to her seances. They claimed her. John, you could turn the projector off. That's all we have time for tonight. And so this is the same lady who was deeply entrenched in demonism. Okay, but yet, how many preachers are claiming that same word of faith heresy? And so this is what we need to see. Preaching is not just a motivation. Preaching is... what is preaching? Let's go to Isaiah 58 to find out what true preaching is. Isaiah chapter 58. Okay. Okay, Joel Osteen asked over and over, not just about Mitt Romney, who's a Mormon, but asked about many different people. He says Hindus, you know, I, if they're truly seeking God, that they'll be in heaven too. That's heresy, okay? That if they don't believe on Jesus Christ as Savior, there is no way for them to get to heaven until they repent of their sins and believe on Christ as Savior. And that is the true gospel, and not something else. Okay, Isaiah 58, what is true preaching? What should preaching be a part, what should it be? And what should it call us to do? Isaiah 58, verse 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Okay? You know, they take a fast, say it's for God, and what do? They find, they seek out pleasure, and then they work, do everything they want to get done in life. Not do it for God and not withhold things for God. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Okay, so here we see, what is true preaching? Okay, Isaiah tells us in verse 1 what true preaching is. What is it? What is true Bible preaching? Good. Showing people their sins, their transgressions. Okay, and how is it to be done? Quietly? No. Loud. It should be loud. It should be something that causes us to wake up and say, whoa, I got to pay attention here because God is trying to get me to do something. Okay? So true Bible preaching should cause us to stop the sins that we're doing and change our mind about them. Okay, so in this instance, okay, Isaiah then preached against their fasting and their quote-unquote religious work. They said, oh yeah, we're fasting for God. And we're doing all these things. Well, God doesn't want you to fast when you're cheating people out of their money and you're not helping your neighbor with what they need and being greedy and keeping all these rich merchant men keeping their money for themselves. Because they are greedy. Okay, that was the sins that God was saying. You're not caring for your neighbor. You're saying you're fasting. Meanwhile, you've got all these bigger sins under here that you're just totally brushing under the carpet. Okay, so a lot of times even human nature is, let's give God our pet area that we like to keep giving him. You know, we'll give him our token area. I haven't been praying lately, so I'll pray more. When really God wants us over here to stop lying to our parents, or stop being lazy at work, or stop saying curse words and doing this, or stop hanging around the wrong kind of friends over here. No, we don't want to give him our token sin that we think, oh, maybe this will appease God today. No, we want to give him everything. We want to give him the real root of the problem, which is the sin patterns that we're doing in our life. Or perhaps it's lust. Perhaps it's reading things you shouldn't, watching TV you shouldn't, doing something else you shouldn't. Well, God wants us to give those things up and not some pet area that we can claim that this is the real root of the problem. No, the real roots of the problem lie over here. And that's what Isaiah is saying. He's saying, listen, don't say you're going to fast. That's what you need to do. That's the only thing you need to do to obey God. No, when you've got all these sins over here that you're totally holding on to. Okay? And so that's true preaching. Going right after the heart of the matter. Going right after the problems in our lives. We all need preaching. Myself included. Every preacher needs preaching. And God often speaks to preachers as we're preparing the messages and says, well, wait a second, you're going to preach this? You need to do it yourself. You know, heal thyself, physician. Heal thyself, as it says in the Scriptures. And so we all need preaching. We all need to stop being hypocritical in our Christian lives and being hypocritical Christians. We need to be consistent, obedient Christians. Okay? So if God speaks to us on a certain area, let's obey Him. Let's get rid of that sin. Let's let's obey him in that area. I've been reading through the minor prophets, and there's just a quick cursory reading of any of the minor prophets, and you'll see how they nail the sins of the people so that the people can repent of them if they will. Okay, let's go to Zephaniah. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he was preaching. They either preached to Judah or to Israel, most of the prophets. Some of them preached to the other nations. So verse 1, Habakkuk 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. Okay, so here Habakkuk is saying, Lord, why won't you hear our prayers? We still have a righteous remnant, but in Judah, but it seems like the wicked are overcoming us. And God says, no, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and that bitter and hasty nation. The Babylon was so violent, very powerful, very strong at this time, but yet, and they are going to come through Judah, and they're going to possess lands that are not theirs. Their horses are swifter than the leopards. Oh boy, that would be scary, right? To see horses so fast, and someone coming around you with riding on a horse that's so fast and has a sword in his hand. You know, we wouldn't want to see that, right? We'd run. We'd say, oh, that's a scary sight. Well, that's what happened. Why? Why did this come upon Judah in 605 B.C., the first attack, and then later on 586 B.C., the final besieging of Jerusalem and taking them into captivity? Why did this come upon Judah? Because of disobedience and sin. Because they said, oh, God's not concerned about what we do in life. We'll give them our token sacrifices over here. Meanwhile, we're going to cover up our real root sins over here. And see, that's what human nature is like. And so that's why Jesus said he raised up the prophets all through history. He raised up preachers to show the people their sin so that they could run from it and repent and turn back to God. And so that's what we need in this day and age, is we need preachers who will preach the truth of the Word of God. Don't run to a preacher who's just going to give some motivational philosophy, or a preacher who's going to say, oh, just love yourself, you know? No, we don't need to love ourselves. We already love ourselves too much, right? How many of us, put the phones away, anyone who's got a phone, okay? We all love ourselves too much, right? How many didn't spend any time at all on yourself today? Didn't take a shower, didn't brush your hair, didn't take care of yourself? Okay, no, none of us had that problem today. Okay, but if we said, well, how about this past month? How much time did you read your Bible? How much time did you spend with God in prayer? How much time did you do that? Well, I spent a lot of time on myself, getting my clothes ready, picking out my outfits, doing this, doing that, taking, you know, makeup and this and that and the other thing. And well, how much did you spend on time with God? See, that gets down to the root of the issue, is that we don't need to love ourselves more, we need to love God more. We need to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. We need to put Him first in our life. And that's when life will start to come together and we'll have more victories in our Christian life. We'll have more answers to prayer as we put the Lord first in our life. And so as we prepare for the revival meetings coming up of the evangelist Gary Gilmore coming and evangelist Paul Raines, that they're going to be preaching at us and they're going to be preaching hard. And that's what we need. We need good, hard preaching. Why? Because we have a stubborn human nature that says, no, I'll give God this over here, but meanwhile, I'll cover up all this. See, we need true preaching, which is lifting up the voice like a trumpet and showing us our transgressions and our sins. And so we need the preaching of God's Word. We need good preaching. We also need teaching. Okay, let's go over to... As we hear the preaching, which affects the heart, we also need the teaching of God's Word, which then instructs the head and instructs us in right relationships with God. Let's go over to in the Gospels, where Jesus taught the people. He taught the people what after they had already been converted. When did many of the followers of Jesus, when did they get saved? Does anybody know? At least the start of his public ministry. When did they get saved? What's that? Okay, they got saved from their sins, yes. Under whose preaching? Okay, Jesus preaching or John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist started 6 months before Jesus, and he lifted up his voice like a trumpet. He showed Israel their sins. Many came to him to repent of their sins and then to be baptized. Okay, they got saved and then they got baptized. And so Jesus already had a large nucleus of followers because John the Baptist prepared the way. Okay, and then Jesus then made and baptized more disciples than John the Baptist. Okay, that's what it says in John chapter 4, verse 1. So, and then he would take them out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 in closing. Matthew chapter 6. We have been studying discipleship, how to grow in our Christian lives on Sunday nights. So we just look at different aspects of discernment, discipleship, how to grow in our Christian lives. Next week we're looking at the importance of growing and discipleship and how to grow in our Christian lives. All right, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus then led the people out to him and gave them teachings, very important teachings. And I'm looking for the Beatitudes. Matthew 5. Okay, thank you. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Okay, so preaching is getting to the heart. And then when we can get to the heart, then we also teach and get to the head. Okay? Because both have to be involved in learning and growing. Okay? We've got to, yes, get to the heart. The heart has to be the one to affect change in the life. If we just preach to the head or teach to the head, some preachers are more teachers, okay, and they just teach to the head. Well, you're going to have a lot of Christians going with head knowledge, but it's not going to affect change in their life yet. Okay, that's why preaching also addresses the heart. Preaching goes after the heart. Teaching goes after the head. And so there needs to be both in the preaching of the Word of God behind the pulpit. Okay, so Jesus taught them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so Jesus taught his followers, his disciples, to be these attitudes. Okay, literally, the Beatitudes mean to be this attitude. Okay, what attitude should we be as Christians? Poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted. We know we're going to get persecuted at times. And So here's the attitudes of the Christian life that we should have. And if we have these attitudes, we're going to do well. Why? Because we're not gonna roll over people. We're not gonna be so aggressive that people just see our motivation, our ambition. No, they're gonna see Christ in us. Okay, so these are the attitudes that we need to put on each and every day, and they will come as we put on the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So let us be listening to preaching and teaching as well. Let us have both, and let us follow whatever God is saying in our lives tonight. Let us, as we close this service, let us bow our heads and close our eyes. As we prepare for revival meetings in 2 weeks, perhaps you'd say tonight, you know, Pastor, I want the Lord to do a work in my life. I want to hear the preaching of the Word. I do want to change. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to be a bullheaded Christian that just stays in a rut. But I want to be obedient to God and what He is trying to say in my life. And I want to listen to the preaching of the Word of God and let Him speak. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there. You see, say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to listen to the evangelists as they preach. I want to listen to preaching. I want to be sensitive to God's work in my life. Amen, amen. I see those hands. Amen. May the Lord bless us as we seek Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight to be reminded of what biblical preaching is and also what false preaching is. Lord, help us to not go after motivational speakers, but help us to go after biblical preachers. Help us to love Your truth and to live in it and to listen to its teachings so that we can grow and grow closer to You each and every day, Lord. And if as You point things out in our lives, Lord, we pray that You would help us to repent and change and turn away from sin and run to You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn our hymn books as we close this service. The 90 and 9, 665. And if you need to come for any reason, maybe you want to come and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I'm ready for what You want to teach me. You want me to change my life, or I love You, Lord. Whatever your prayer is tonight, would you come and kneel at the altar tonight? The 90 and 9. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care.
safety to our homes, and guide us through the week ahead and help our life to be testimony, light to those whom we come in contact with. And we ask all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.